listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
I little TK, I don't think you want no action. You don't want no action, you get turned to past tense. Your boy is deep, well, let's get to subtracting. Smith and Wesson made my nine with some compassion. Fuck a beat, I was trying to steal the case. But I ain't beat that case, bitch, I did the race. Beat it up, well, I nothing shorty face. Eli Blast cracking fours like a vase. Pop a nigga, then I go out my way. Do the dash, then I go out my way. Rob a nigga shoes, rob a nigga lace. We try to see 100 bands in our face. Fuck a beat, I would try and be the case. But I ain't beat that cage, bitch, I beat the race. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I gotta thank everybody. We've been having all kinds of responses on social media, people buying tickets to our show. I don't know the number.
Emotional.
Yeah, it's definitely been emotional. I don't know the number. Mm-mm. Honestly, the people update us like every so often, and they're not even hitting us straight up, they're hitting up our event planner. So I think
we'll get the number from her
when we talk to her. But yeah, so I do see y'all. I see y'all on social media talking about I'm gonna get it.
I bought them.
Yeah, I already bought my tickets. Some people like, I ain't even sure I could come, but I bought my tickets just in case. Some people like, I bought my tickets, I want to give my tickets away.
Yeah,
we'll figure out how to give tickets away. I think you can actually email the PDF file to people. So if you buy tickets and you do want to give them away or something, I think we can figure something out through the show. Maybe we can have a contest or a giveaway or something. People can write in, whatever. We'll figure that out when we get there. We got 4 months to do that part. But yeah, man, just important that if you're thinking about coming, you get some tickets. Someone asked us what VIP tickets, where they sat. I believe they told us the VIP tickets are sat closer to the front.
Yes.
So if you get VIP, you also sat closer to the front in addition to the meet and greet, the pictures, the signing, all that type of stuff that we're going to do with people. So that should be dope. What else was I going to say? So just thank you. We're very thankful. And, I can't wait to see you guys. Like,
I said I'm so excited.
Yeah, when I stood on that stage and looked out at all those empty seats, and you know, I'm just sitting there because there was like a smaller venue too that we could have got, I believe. But I was like, you know what, man, let's do it. Like, maybe, like, I've tried to have some positive visualization in my head of a bunch of y'all out there staring at us and laughing and participating and playing games and enjoying the show. So I'm gonna roll with that dream and see if it happens. If it doesn't happen, hey, you can only, the only true failure is not to try. So I hope you guys do pack it out. I hope that y'all make that vision in my head come true. And I'm looking out at a crowd, a sea of faces, that are getting their lives to these jokes, the way that I imagine y'all do, when we do the show. So, can't wait.
Yes, I'm so excited. And the way the venue is designed is literally nowhere that not a good seat, if that makes sense. The way it's designed, it is so beautiful.
There's no bad seat in the house.
It really isn't
for 400 seats. This is still a very intimate venue.
It's really tight and close, so everybody's going to be close to us,
and it's so like professional and fancy. Like,
come on, dog.
Wait till y'all see it. Like, it's not,
we gotta have a light
shit.
Man and some people there doing audio and shit.
Yeah, like it was so nice. You know how, like, you almost have imposter syndrome. You're sitting there like, do these niggas know we're gonna be saying nigga up in here a lot or nah?
I don't know. They was like, we'll take your money.
Right.
And then, they said that, for shows on their list, they actually have people, locally that are subscribed on, like, their mailing list. And they was like, we'll do an email blast. I was like, ooh, them people gonna be like, what is this?
Yeah, so hopefully you guys show up and show out, man. And people are asking, is it okay to bring somebody who's never heard the show before? Of course it's okay to bring them. I mean, you got 4 months to listen to an episode, but I'm just saying, like, of course it is. I don't know about people bringing kids. You know your kids, you guys figure it out, because we're gonna still do our show the same way.
Yeah, it's parents. Just can't no kids come by themselves now. Their kids and the parents got to come together.
Right. So I, you know, but I really do hope that people show up and we have a great time. And I see people are already interested, and we got a long way to go, you know, as far as how much time between the actual show. But I have no idea what the tickets look like, so y'all just you know, hopefully there's still tons of tickets available, and we'll be promoting this for weeks to come. So anyway, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
the unofficial sport,
a bullet ball
extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by the Blackout Tips Live 2018. Go to the blackouttips.com slash TVGWT. Wait, what is it? Live 2018.
Yeah, he actually have it on our homepage now. So if you actually go just to the blackouttips.com, it's actually up at the top. You can see it in big white words.
Yeah, it's the blackouttips.com live 2018. Like, it's slash live 2018. But yeah, if you go to the blackouttips.com, at the top of the page, there's like different sections, and the top right section is you just click on that, it takes you right to that page. So hopefully we see y'all there.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yeah, get your money right. All right. Beyonce hopefully won't drop no new extra dates on a tour before we
Don't do this to us, Beyonce.
Like, hopefully she won't open up some Charlotte seats the same night, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hope not.
Fingers is crossed, y'all.
Like, you know, the NBA doesn't start at that time, so we got some time. I mean, I'm just hoping. All right. So the other thing I needed to start off and say, I normally don't have to find myself in a situation where I have to do this, but I have to apologize. Yesterday's show, I said some pretty inflammatory things that I want to take back. You know, I got a little, some people would call it racist. Against straight white men, straight white males, as they call them. I didn't realize how out of pocket I was. I was at the gym today, and my friend Chet came in, and I saw him, and I went over to him. I said, "What's up, man?" What's going on, my straight white male? And I reached out to give him a high five, and he slapped my hand down, and he was mad, and he said, "Hey, only we can say that to each other." Okay, you are stepping
over. They taking it back.
Yeah, he said he's taking it back for the society. We're stepping all over cultural boundaries and stuff that I guess I just don't understand. Because I mean, if I can't say it, then why do y'all put it on y'all dating profile when y'all are all on, you know, Tinder and shit? You know, y'all on, I guess it's okay on OK Cupid. I don't know. I don't know the rules of these people's. That's probably offenses too, you people, whatever. I don't know the rules to the straight white males society and what is and isn't a slur. I just know that I was raised in a country with freedom of speech. Okay, we weren't surrounded constantly by a bunch of snowflake cucks that got their hands on guns and shot up schools every other day because they weren't getting enough sex, you know? Like, that's the America that I grew up in. But this new, you know, with the internet, you're always learning people's buttons and the things that trigger them.
All these social justice warriors out there.
Right. And I understand that white men need a safe space. Straight white males need a safe space because society's been so hard to them. You know, it's not
so
fair lately.
Oppression.
I mean, you look at the Me Too movement. Who's the main people that people are upset with for being rapists? Straight white males. Now, why, just because they do most of the rape and get away with it, why should they be singled out as a group for people that we should not want to be rapists, that are bad people? You know, just because they shoot up the most schools and mass shootings in America, and they've killed more American citizens than the actual American soldiers have died around the globe this year.
Come on, purposely and accidental.
But then why should that be a stereotype that they have to live with, Karen? Okay, I'm growing in my understanding here. And I think, you know, I just want to issue an apology, okay? I'm not a racist, okay? And seeing myself and listening to myself on the podcast, it really opened my eyes. And the manner in which I express myself is unacceptable. And that is not the person that I am, okay? You know, I moved to Charlotte because I love diversity. I love some of my ex-best friends were straight white males. A lot of people don't know that. But this country and this city is in part because of straight white males that is so good. So I I hope that people can find it in their hearts to forgive me for the things that I said yesterday. I hope straight white males can continue to listen to the show, because you know, I'm deeply sorry for what I did, you know, and it's not right. Okay, no straight white man should ever have to feel even the tiniest bit uncomfortable with the truth. Okay, none of them should ever have to think about how they voted for Donald Trump and he's a racist, and therefore by proxy they put racism in the White House, but they don't want to be called racist because some economic anxiety, even though this motherfucker was a lawyer and most of y'all got good paying jobs and still mad. So yeah, I just wanted to say that. Okay guys, my sincerest apologies to anyone and everyone I hurt. Thank you. All right, you ready to start the show?
I guess.
Okay, I don't know what the problem is over there, but okay. Let's see who's in the news. Steve Harvey is in the news.
Uh-oh.
He got called out about failed marriages after offering relationship advice.
Oh, somebody was like, hey, what about you?
What took so long? We've been saying this shit since I think we started this show. It's like, but ain't this nigga Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man with these... this advice?
Yeah, he's had several marriages.
He's made a career out of offering up relationship advice to women, so it's no surprise that he did it again at a recent event. I tell women this all the time. All men can change, and all men will change, but there is only one woman that we're willing to change for. It's just one. We don't change for all women. We only change for one woman. If he ain't changing, you ain't the one.
Oh, really? And my thing is, like, there's a lot of people that's been married multiple times. What they not out here doing is giving relationship advice.
Well, I mean, look, failure breeds advice as well.
Yes, it is.
But sometimes the best thing you can learn is from failure.
And when I mean that is, like, they're not going out as the spokesperson for the for my example is the only example, you know, and actually out here trying to pimp people to make money off of it.
Right,
like that's the part. Married, I don't care how many times you get married, I have nothing to do with that. Divorce is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And people don't want to admit that. Everybody look at divorce as this terrible, horrible, end all thing. But honey, you talk to some people that got divorce will set you free. A lot of people are chained and bondage to a marriage that they want to leave.
Yeah, so like I said, I'm not knocking him because he's been divorced. Mm-hmm. And he's giving advice, but I do wonder, and as a person that has, you know, blamed everything bad on women and correct, basically said men are irredeemable pieces of shit, but that's women's fault and women's responsibility to change men, I have wondered why no one's ever said, well, what happened, what was wrong with your woman, what's wrong with, you know, what's wrong with you? In a apparent response to his newest piece of advice making the rounds online, many folks have called out issues with listening to the radio and talk show host when it comes to relationships. He's been through two divorces and married wife Marjorie Harvey in 2007. Steve Harvey's rise to relationship guru has been fascinating to watch. I mean, fuck that nigga and his trash ass opinions. Just stating it, it's amazing that people will really let any old damn body get them love advice, one person said. Me going to Steve Harvey for relationship advice is like going to Birdman about money management. Why would you listen to him? A popular opinion, Steve Harvey speaks a lot of bullshit, another said. Steve Harvey is on his third or fourth marriage now? He's the last person I listen to for relationship advice. LOL, bless his soul. Well, you want to know what else, though? These are just Twitter comments. I want someone to ask him to his face. I want to know how he answers this. But that's kind of the thing. You got to get in the room. And the kind of people that are in the room with him ain't gonna answer that. But I would like to know how he gotta have some type of, at least have thought about this shit. Like, what makes you the one to give advice other than the fact, you know, you just say so, you know? And maybe that's the lesson for us all, motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I think that's my thing. Everybody has, regardless if you've been married, divorced, not married, everybody has something in their life that as they get older, and grow older, they could give advice, you know, to somebody, you know. Not say that everything he said is just pointless and fruitless, but it's just for the fact that, you know, a lot of people hold his word as law, you know, and and a lot of people, particularly in the black community, act like everything he says is right and correct when, you know, it's not.
Yeah, you know what it is for me? I think it's like, if you present yourself, what it is that there's so many people that are so insecure about relationship stuff. And that's why, like, people that have no expertise in the field that are just like, I mean, shit, you can just be a podcaster and be like, hey, if you want to write us for relationship advice, you know, email us at blah, blah, and people will do it. I think it's because insecurity, you know, it's like, well, somebody must have the answers, not me, you know, and it's not like people really listen to good advice a lot of times anyway.
They don't, because good advice requires change and people don't want a motherfucking change.
Yeah, so I mean, it could just be as simple as that, you know. I mean, he's getting paid to do that shit and people are eating it up, so
yes. I mean they're gonna honestly pay somebody to do the job.
Yeah, well, honestly, I mean, if that's what they need to hear, that's what they want to hear. Maybe they dealing with a nigga like Steve Harvey and this advice might help them in some way. I just don't personally, I think the advice he gives is so shallow that there's no self-examination in it, and there's no role as to what men need to do. And his advice is mostly like, women need to do something that'll make a man have to do something else, like a hostage negotiation. But you know, in all fairness, maybe that is real life for a lot of people. You know, it's easy for me to say, because I'm not that type of nigga to be like, I'm gonna try to fuck all the bitches unless you make me, you know, unless you give me a 90 day rule, I'm gonna treat you like trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not that dude to even need to hear some stupid shit like that, you know. So maybe there are women dealing with dudes like Steve Harvey, and you know, this is the compromise they have to make in life, is that this nigga's not gonna act right, so I have to put him in some type of stupid ass head game in order to win a relationship out of it. And that just all seems like way too much effort. But I mean, if that's what you got to deal with, you know, because like, one thing I always say about Steve Harvey and even like Tyrese and them, they don't give advice that's any different from the advice you get in most churches.
Mm-mm.
So it's like, it's hard for me to diss their advice and then watch people turn around and go to church and get the same dose of the same, like, misogynistic, men are trash but women are responsible for the men being trash, and close your legs and act a certain way and you'll get a good man, and that type of shit. You know, if you ain't got no if your baby daddy ain't taking care of the cow, that's your fault. If you get pregnant, that's your fault. If he leaves, that's your fault. If he stays and beats you, that's your fault. If, you know, like, it's a lot of the same advice you see in church, so maybe I'm tripping. Publix omits the word cum on a woman's summa cum laude cake for graduation.
They said we can't be using that.
They must got the same sensors, yeah, that Facebook got.
I know. Ain't no summa finna do nothing laude, mm-hmm, apparently.
Summa cum loud.
We is not here for this.
Y'all gonna come quiet today. I'm silencing this. So yeah, they took it, they took it off at the Publix grocery store.
Didn't nobody tell, is that the first time they got the request, or were they like,
somebody first time?
Can't they use discretion, like print it out and go, well, we ain't gonna do that, like, after you read it?
Yeah. Some woman put on Facebook, my son was humiliated. I seriously couldn't make this crap up. She revealed that the word has an apparent, it was an apparent violation of the store's obscenity policy. How utterly ridiculous. And I will be speaking to a manager for a refund. Shame on you, Publix, for turning an innocent Latin phrase into a total embarrassment, for having to explain to my son and others, including my 70-year-old mother, about this joke of a cake. I mean, you could have kept it to yourself, but okay. She was like, I had to explain. No, like, you could have just been mad and yeah, kept it to yourself, got a refund.
You didn't have to.
You wanted to tell us. And you know why? Because it's funny.
Sure is.
I mean, it is funny.
And they put three dashes, y'all. It's hilarious. It looked like a cuss word, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like, what is it? Summa goddamn it, Lottie. What happened? Who wrote this?
I'm going to see what else I can get on the censor out there. You know? Be like, vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Nope. Don't think so. oh, man. Afro Man settles out of court with the woman he punched during a nightclub performance.
Who the hell is Afro Man?
You don't know who Afro Man is? Hold on. Let me pull this up. Oh,
don't tell me he's somebody I'm supposed to know, Lord.
Oh, you know him. I know you definitely know him. He made this hit.
Roll another blunt.
Ah, yes.
La da 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 da. La da da da. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
So, yeah, he apparently punched a woman in a nightclub during a nightclub performance.
Was he high?
I punched that bitch in the face because I was high. I tried to tell her stay in a place, but I was high.
La, da, da,
now
da,
I'm going to jail and I don't know why. Yeah, yeah, cause I got high, because I got high, because I got high.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah, he's trash. Anyway, the suit was filed against the singer, whose real name is Joseph Edgar Foreman, back in 2015 by a woman named Haley Bird. The incident occurred after Bird snuck on stage during a performance at the Biloxi nightclub. Foreman pleaded guilty to assault charges for the incident. She did sneak on
security
stage
to get her ass off the stage.
The bitch snuck up behind me because she was high. I don't know. Bird later filed a suit against Foreman for damages for injuries that claimed that he dissed her by making a record that highlighted the assault. The song is called Stay Off the Stage.
What?
Now I gotta find this. He made a whole damn song about her.
You can't even lie. Can't be nobody but her.
Right. Nah, you know, I was, when I made Stay Off the Stage, you know, I was really just inspired by, you know, Kanye West trying to take Taylor. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope, Your Honor. That's about me. What about that line, bitch, get off the stage?
It's already too much stress. All the sound checks. Do the lights work? Do the mics work? Have some respect. These complications make it complicated. I'm stressed out now, you're contemplating. Stepping on stage, you don't want to make mistakes. Cause I will fuck around and make a whole compilation of every time y'all went and fucked around. My team about to have a good time tonight. It's love if you're really trying to hold me down. But it's tough if you're trying to be a clown tonight. So don't do it. Yeah, I know you paid for tickets. Came to watch, yeah, you came to listen. Is there something that I am missing? This place, I'm on its way beyond permission. Oh God, bring the real back, bring a real rap. Do you feel that? Team of gorillas and they just ready to peel back. 19 with a nice flow and a nice pro.
I mean, it's all right, right? So far, I kind of like it.
5-1 to the white hole, see an opportunity to go and take advantage. I don't pay attention, so they're looking for the answer. I'm old enough, I know enough. I'm never scared to open up, they know it's us. Wow, holding me down, making them proud. This is what I dreamed about. Shaking the house, making the whole city bounce. Let me bring it back to the main topic. You ain't doing that, quit the stage hopping. It is disrespect, you was raised proper. Live with no regret, it isn't safe for you. Take precaution, play it safe, replay it off.
When is Afro Man gonna rap? Cause I mean, this dude's nice, but I mean,
stay out, stay out, stay out.
Went out to a hip-hop show. Hip-hop on stage, fuck up the flow. Then turn around, try to sue for dough. Attention won't go digging hoe. Whack-ass bitch, get off the stage. Go be a stripper, get on back page. Girls gone wild, are the girls that suck? They got a boyfriend and they ain't gon' fuck. Jumping out the stand, stealing drink out their hands. Fucking up equipment, you ain't no fans. Jealous haters trying to steal the show. All the real fans out there feel me, though. Jumping on stage is disrespectful. Make a rapper wanna break your neck, ho. Monkey see, monkey do. Everybody on stage because of you. I know you wanna show everybody your hooters, but don't spill beer on my computers. Haters playing with you like a girl's boob, trying to make you look stupid on YouTube. Fuck up your game, trying to ruin your name, so they can laugh and gain a little fame. Please don't jump on the stage with bro. I reach back like a pimp and slap the hoe. Mess me up while I'm making my bread, embarrassed on Facebook, shaking my head. Getting clowned from coast to coast by comedians and talk show hosts.
What?
Afro Man,
that's us.
That cat. You think I'ma let you get away with that? Embarrass me, I'll embarrass you. People looking at YouTube talking about, ooh, think you right, you wrong, ho. Wrong rapper, wrong show. I fuck with beats, not with you. I'm Afro Man, not the Two Live Crew. Not from Miami, but Palmdale. You can dance butt naked at my hotel. Jump on stage like an anus. I'm Afro Man, I'll make you famous.
Oh, man.
I hate to sue you, too.
I hate to say this, man, but, like, them bars is hot enough that I'm on his side now. I don't know how that happened. I was completely on the other side till I heard his version of it. Now I'm like, I mean, she did jump on stage. Sometimes you gotta smack a bitch. She knew you was Afro Man. Like, look at this. All you gotta do is make it rhyme. Ain't that sad? Damn.
They played this in court.
And he would have won the trial. No wonder they threw this shit out. It was like, set out of court. There's no way we can win. Your Honor, we like to present Exhibit A, this song. That, oh man. Spilling drink on his computers? I mean, come on. I know he won't show you Hooters, but what I'm supposed to not be able to do shows no more? Cause you couldn't control yourself? Get on stage, act like an anus? And then you got to be mad that he made you famous. I mean, the defense rests, Your Honor. The defense rests. Deliberations was not gonna take long. She had to settle out of court. She was gonna lose this shit. According to her manager, the settlement will be signed next week. Surround details of the deal will be released at that time. Holdman also says that Bird has already settled a lawsuit with the nightclub. The nightclub sued her because she fucked up the show. Now look, in all honesty, you did not need to hit that woman. And he clearly hit that woman out of some power trip shit. Like, I'm a backslapper. This will be hilarious. Or, you know, bitch, you know, and they could have.
And so my problem is that, yeah, where is the paid fucking security that should have been there to be like, ma'am, come with us, get off the stage. It's somebody's job to do that, not the performers.
I mean, it's an open and shut case. I mean, he literally admitted to everything she said he did.
Yeah, and I hope she
in
wins.
In the verse. I mean, it's just from his perspective as a pimp smacking rapper, I understood how he felt
rapper.
That he had no recourse. You know, I understood. But that nigga's,
I don't care how hot your beat is, pay her.
Then
all the flame emojis, pay her.
He made a song about it. What? Oh my god, that's some talent right there. That nigga made a song. You know how mad you gotta be to make a song about it? That nigga, he practiced that. That wasn't no one take. That nigga went and wrote bars. He got feature. He went and got a beat. He was mad as hell about her, boy.
You know he was.
Mm-mm-mm.
Talking about that ain't about her. Who else is it about? You did everything short of putting her name out there.
That's what all these rappers need to start doing. They need to just start putting it in raps instead of hitting people, killing people. Just put it in raps. Let us know what happened. Let us know your perspective. I can be easily swayed by a hot 16. I'm not gonna lie. I was totally on Afro Man's side. I had to come back to my senses. I was like, well, I don't know now. That's a good point. Jump on stage and smack in the hole. Okay, yes, I get it. Yes. It does take a lot of work to put the lighting together and the sounds. And
I'm not going to disagree with you.
He had me on his side, y'all. Oh, man. Hey, here's a list of all the things Meghan Markle can't do now that she is the Royal Duchess of Sussex.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she can and can't do.
She cannot post selfies anymore.
Okay. Yeah, right. That's probably part of their policies.
Mm-hmm. So apparently it's unbecoming of royalty to post selfies.
Which is stupid, but okay.
The queen herself is not a fan of selfies and looks down on the whole idea. Chloe to the mirror.
Yeah, that woman's 90 years old, so come on.
Number two, she can't go shopping by herself or really do anything in public alone anymore.
That I understand. Now that one I understand because of her position.
She have an all-female security team around her at all times when she's out performing her duties. Number three, she can't have her own social media accounts. She closed all her own social media accounts a few months before the royal wedding. According to ABC, Meghan, who was once very active on social media, has started to scale back her social media presence soon after her relationship with Harry became serious. She cannot vote in British elections.
That's understandable.
I guess. It's not against the law in Britain for royalty to vote, but it's believed to be unconstitutional. She will not become a British citizen for a number of years, will also not be allowed to speak out on politics or social issues. Wow, I did not know that. Number five, she cannot wear bold colored nail polish.
Oh, it's what they want clear.
Apparently the queen is very picky about nail polish. So the queen decides these things for everybody else. That's interesting. You got a person that was born in like 1920 telling everybody
that's
like,
what I was about to say. This woman is old as fuck.
Right. excuse me, we do not wear the harlot's pink in the royal chambers. Please take our nails off.
We don't do emails. We do everything with the typewriter.
Right. Sign autographs. You can't do that anymore because people might steal a signature and forge it.
Okay, that's understandable.
But I mean, don't, she was famous before this. They already have a signature. People done got signed Meghan Markle stuff. But maybe now it's Meghan, Royal Duchess of Sussex. Hit the sack before the queen. It is bad form for a lady to go to bed before the queen goes to bed. This one shouldn't be that hard.
Well, we gonna be going to bed at 4 p.m. Early.
Sounds like you misunderstood the rule. Hit the sack before the queen. She cannot go to bed before the queen.
Oh!
So, you know, the queen probably go to bed at like 3:30.
You know she do.
So, no, that's fine. She cannot wear short hemlines anymore. Short dresses, short shorts, and anything considered revealing are now banned for Meghan. In fact, she has been dressing much more conservatively ever since her engagement to Harry. Man, they have such weird customs, man.
Old rules.
She can't show her bare legs anymore. Back in November, during Harry and Meghan's engagement.
I mean, do they have the people that like the ankles out there? What's happening here?
I guess they finally do got some monocled up ankle biting motherfuckers. Meghan was said to not be wearing the royal dress code, which according to one royal expert is the only hard, steadfast rule in terms of what the queen requires. So, she cannot be an actor anymore. She said, I just see it as a change. It's a new chapter, right? She got to forego her acting career.
So you basically can't have a job or a career.
Mm-hmm. She cannot sit with her legs crossed.
What is that supposed to do? Approve.
Ladies are to sit with their ankles crossed or knees together to avoid any exposure of the crotch area. This is known as the Duchess slant.
That's stupid.
Might see some of that crotch area, Karen. So, yeah, that's all the things Meghan can't do now that she's in the royal family.
Some of them understand, some of them is dumb. Some of them is just, oh, what, is she gonna have a corset? She gotta wear girdles and slips.
A racist Food Network host was pummeled on Twitter for saying straight white male is the new N-word. So now you guys know why I've been making all these jokes. Josh Denny is a straight white male who thinks being called a straight white male is the equivalent of being called the N-word for African American people.
That ain't the same.
It's generated controversy on social media.
Ain't this the one the dictionary.com people called out?
Dictionary.com even responded to him and said no. He's the host of Ginormous Food on the Food Network. Now see, this is the kind of shit where I'm like, why would you fuck up your rep like this? Cause I mean, I'm not saying they're gonna fire him over this, but it's just stupid. Like, the fact that you even felt the need to say this having that job shows you how fucking safe you are in a society. Like you're doing just fucking fine. What are you even mad about?
Honey, cook whatever the fuck you cooking and make your money.
Like, honestly, straight white men are just mad that other people can have opinions that are valid as now.
Right.
Like, they went through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of society where their opinion was literally the only fucking opinion that mattered. And if the consensus of them come together on something, then it's fuck everybody else. And now we're at a world where we have internet, other people have TV shows and access to media and all this shit. And now they're not the only voice. They can't monopolize all the time. And they go, well, this is racist against me now. Straight white males become this century's N-word. It's used to offend and diminish the recipient based on assumption and bias. No difference in the usage. You know how the police go, what you straight white males doing around here? Get on out the car. He's got a gun, pow. Not only did he play straight white male in the same category as a word associated with lynching, slavery, and general injustice that black people have suffered for generations, the straight white male also shamelessly compared himself to Martin Luther King. My point is, this is another reason white people need to educate about black history. My point is, when you call someone this in a conversation, you know exactly what you're doing. Attempting to devalue that POV based on the negative cultural stereotypes. That's racism. Saying my label for you invalidates your opinion or your place in society is literally what Dr. King fought against. Mm-hmm. remember Martin Luther King had that speech where he said he was doing all this for the straight white males, man. I remember that speech. That March on Washington.
The word that you can't say. Which one you think is more offensive?
I have a dream that one day all the straight white male children will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That's why they killed him.
100.
He was out there trying to help straight white males out, and they didn't want to see that shit. So America had to kill that great black leader because he was speaking too much truth, y'all. They took him out. That's what happened to Malcolm X too. It was right when they start making that turn where they're like, and you know what, I've been doing this all wrong. It's really white people that's got a problem. And then boom, they take them out every time.
Every single
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles to make us feel fucked with and sign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Karen's just going to fumble with her mic for a while. We're just going to get used to that sound.
I'm sorry. I didn't know y'all could hear that. I was trying to get...
Of course we can hear it.
My mic.
It's a microphone, Karen. All right. Is something wrong with the mic?
Sorry, it was slanting. I was trying to be sure I was talking into it correctly.
All right, we got it now. All right, here we go.
Sorry about the noise, y'all. Mm-mm. I am professional.
Mm-hmm. Come to the live show. Get more of this, guys.
I know.
A neo-Nazi who shoved a black woman at a Trump rally is now going to jail. Matthew Heinbach, 27, leader of the now-defunct Traditionalist Worker Party and a prominent figure in Charlottesville, will spend the next 38 months in the Louisville Metropolitan Jail for violating terms of his probation. Yeah, he gonna just be in jail with more white supremacists, probably having a great time. I've been having the time of their lives.
Come on.
Being there partying and shit. Yay, we made it to jail. Celebrate good times.
Come on.
Heinbach was caught on camera shoving Kashia Nyangoma and two other protesters at a Trump rally at the Kentucky Convention Center in March 2016. Why don't you guys go protest at the Trump rally?
Nigga, for what? For
y'all
why?
Was wishing harm on them people, and y'all know it.
Right.
He was charged with misdemeanor harassment, which was later downgraded to second degree disorderly conduct. In his defense at the time, Heinbach said he was simply respecting the then candidate of Donald Trump's authority, which was to get him out of here. He pleaded guilty last June, paid a small fine, and was released on condition that he undergo anger management classes, stay out of trouble for 2 years. But the neo-Nazi thought leader, who was front and center in the violent Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia last August, has had a hard time staying out of trouble. In March, the family love triangle. Oh, he's that. Okay, so he's the cuckold white supremacist. I remember him. A family love triangle led to the implosion of the Traditionalist Worker Party, which Heinbach ran alongside Matt Parrott, stepfather of his wife, Brooke Heinbach. As it turns out, Heinbach was sleeping with Parrott's wife.
That's the story we covered, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Brooke and Parrott caught their spouses having sex in the trailer in Paoli, Indiana. Heinbach assaulted his own wife and choked Parrott until he was unconscious. He was arrested on domestic battery charges and released on bond. Days later, he resigned from his position with the party. Imagine having to resign from the white nationalist party. Like, what? How bad you gotta fuck up for them to be like, listen, okay, we can deal with your racism.
Right.
And we can deal with every, but this is too much. Heinbach, you gotta go, bud. You gotta go. You're embarrassing
you
us.
You have crossed the line there, buddy.
You are embarrassing us. Now listen, everybody got the Tico torches. Let's go on out here and march against progress.
No. You can't go.
The Southern Poverty Law Center might have us listed as a hate group, but let me tell you what we hate. People that embarrass the cause. You gotta go.
Embarrass the cause?
Now, give us all your killed niggers paraphernalia. Give it back. Come on, buddy. That's enough. Take off the Star David with the Ghostbuster no sign over it. Get off. Give it back. It's enough of your shit, buddy. So then they had about 100 members. He said, I'm done, I'm out. He told the Southern Poverty Law Center, Matt Parrott is out of the gang. Y'all have a nice life. Well, he called them to let them know, can y'all take me off the list? I opt
I
out.
I'm trying. I don't want no more texts.
Opt out.
Group chats.
Y'all have a nice life. Parrott also shut down websites for the organization. Heinbach has since tried to start up a new group called the Nationalist Initiative. Oh, that's how it always goes. Niggas fall out, try to start some new shit. It's not gonna happen, Paya. You lost the wave, man. You gotta ride that Charlottesville to the throne. You just could not fuck that motherfuckers. Could not have your wife fuck this, what was her stepfather? It was some somebody. Old hillbilly incest ass shit. Heinbach's, actions violated the terms of his probation. Charges in the domestic battery case are pending. Meanwhile, his wife filed for divorce in April. Heinbach was also a lead organizer behind the White Lives Matter neo-Nazi rally in Shelbyville, Tennessee last October. It's amazing how the people behind these white pride and all lives and white lives and blue lives matter just happen to keep being neo-Nazis, but yet people go, what's wrong with their slogans? It's just interesting to me. Literal terrorists are the people that organize those events, and yet y'all call Black Lives Matter terrorists. What world is this? Anyway, zero to 100.
I was about to say, guess the race.
We already know the race.
Okay.
Come on.
100. I've been said 100.
I made a mistake. I apologize to everybody.
Oh, no. You don't need to apologize. I was letting you know.
These goddamn straight white males. They just get me out of my zone, Karen. They're always doing some shit like this.
Come on.
Speaking of straight white males, white, straight, and Christian, Dallas County politician admits rewarding his kids if they marry within the race. And they get a double bonus if you marry within the family.
Reward them with what? Cookies.
I imagine he will reward them with money. Vickers, first of all, whose first name is Vickers? Damn, that's white. Vickers Vic Cunningham, a former criminal district judge, now in the Republican runoff for Dallas County Commissioner,
you know what I'm
saying, acknowledged Friday that he set up a living trust with a clause rewarding his children if they marry a white person. Cunningham spoke to the Dallas Morning News about the trust after his estranged brother, Bill Cunningham, came to the paper earlier this week, saying his brother had been a lifelong racist. Damn. It'd be your own people, man.
Yeah, because he knew he was running for that seat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's your strange brother, man. He did you like that.
He was strange for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Vic Cunningham denied harboring racial bigotry, but did confirm one of his brother's primary allegations, that his trust includes a stipulation intended to discourage a child from marrying a person of another race or of the same sex. I strongly support traditional family values, he said. I imagine that's how he said it.
Of course that's how he said it.
If you marry a person of the opposite sex, that's Caucasian, that's Christian, they will get a distribution. Cunningham said his views on interracial marriage have evolved since he created the trust in, how long ago, Karen?
3 years ago.
Ah, come on now. You being real? Okay. He created the trust in 2010. So in the 8 years since 2010, okay, he has evolved on that, and
that's why I said 3 years ago, because I was mm-hmm. like, it ain't been that long.
Oh, I was just messing with you.
Okay.
He said he has. I mean, it sounded like some shit out of 1975. Is why.
Right. I know it wasn't no time soon, because yeah. You was like, yeah.
No, it was soon, 2010. But it sounded like some shit out of 1975. Like if he would have said, look, in 1963, I put this in my will, and I forgot about it, to be honest with you, but I'm taking it out because I mean, so much stuff has happened since 1963.
He ain't taking it.
No, man. This shit was 8 years ago. This ain't a long time.
No, it is not.
I don't believe you.
And you did it while Obama was in office.
Boy, is that egg on my face. I was racist. I was going through a time in 2010. It was so long ago. I mean, we had a black president. Black Lives Matter was everywhere. It was just so frustrating.
It feels like it's been 45 years ago.
I was scared. Okay. I'm just going to come out and admit it. I thought that Nigerian son of a bitch is gonna take everything. Anyway, he said he's accepted his son's relationship
including
with
my beautiful children.
He says he's accepted his son's relationship with a woman of Vietnamese origin, though he said he couldn't change the terms of his trust. However, a former political aide of Cunningham's described him making repeated racist statements. A text message from Cunningham's son showed concern that his father would not accept his relationship with an Asian woman. And in a recorded conversation, Cunningham's mother, Mina Cunningham, acknowledged her son had been a long time bigot. His whole family came out. I was like, what you won't do? How his whole family embarrassed of him though? Everybody in his family was embarrassed. Like, no, daddy is racist. Okay. I know what he said in that interview. He's still racist.
Come on, he's still racist.
Bill Cunningham brought the allegations to the news Monday shortly after he said Vic Cunningham arrived at his home and threatened him and his husband, who is black, and referred to his husband repeatedly as your boy. So I guess he has a gay son who married a black man.
You know what? That's probably why he put the stipulations in that thing after...
In 2010.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He's like, you won't get none of my trust if you do this.
That's what it was.
You and that nigger.
That's what it was.
I've done a lot of evolving in the last 3 seconds since you found out about this clause in my will. And I gotta say, I'm not racist no more. I am delivered.
I'm not changing the policy either.
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't that changed.
His views and his actions are disqualifying for anyone to hold public office in 2018, said Bill Cunningham, 50 years old. It frightens me to death to think of people in power who could hurt people. Yep, he's going to be anti-gay, anti-black, anti-everything.
Mm-hmm. He's been passing all types of laws.
Vic Cunningham denied threatening his brother or describing his brother's husband as boy. Oh, that's his brother. Okay, my bad. His brother's husband is boy. Vic Cunningham, 56, and his brother Ross Cunningham, 44, and Greg Cunningham, 62, described their brother Bill on Friday as a deeply troubled man who has been ousted from the family and written out of their parents' wills. They said Bill is trying to sabotage Vic's campaign over anger that Vic denied Bill a $45,000 loan. So it's not that there's a literal clause in this man's trust that says he will not, his children have to marry a white person who is of the opposite sex. And look how the family surrounded him. They ostracized the gay brother, and then they surround the bigot brother like, no, the gay brother just mad he can get some money. That's why we all wrote him out the will. That doesn't even make sense. Your reasoning doesn't even make sense. He needed some money, so we wrote him out of the will? How does that even make sense? You all bigots.
Correct.
I'm embarrassed that my brother fabricated stories that dragged my family's name through the mud, said Ross Cunningham. Vic Cunningham is running for a commissioner in a county that is majority minority, with blacks and Hispanics making up a large portion of the population. As a judge of the county for 10 years, he sent scores of black and Hispanic people to prison after they were convicted of crimes. He said that his views on his children marrying outside the race never translated into unfairness on the bench or discrimination in any way.
I don't believe you.
Right. Y'all really believe that shit?
Mm-mm.
I got a boat to sell you if you believe that shit. So yeah, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, I give it 100 as well. And he was a judge on the bench. You know what? Nobody getting no fair rulings out of that shit.
Everybody was going to jail.
An officer secretly recorded his chief spewing racist remarks. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you. This must be one of those very rare good officers I keep hearing so much about.
One in a few?
Yeah, we always hear that the majority of them are good. But I'm like, well, if the majority of them are good, how come y'all always protect the bad ones? Apparently this person did not. Let's see if it was for a petty reason or for justice. Because, you know, sometimes it'd be for petty reasons. He wouldn't give me a promotion. The cop who stealthily recorded 100 hours of his former chief talking and using racial slurs has remained anonymous until yesterday. A filing in a federal racial assault case against former Bordentown Township Police Chief Frank Nucera Jr. names the person who handed over the recordings to the FBI as Nathan Rohr, a patrol sergeant. His name appears in an FBI report attached to the exhibit two agents report that they met with Orr and received the recordings. Federal prosecutors said Nukera can be heard in the recordings using the N-word to describe African Americans, and at one point saying that they were like ISIS, they have no value, they should line them all up and mow them down. The then chief's comments are described in a complaint charging Nucera with a federal hate crime and related charges for the alleged beating of a handcuffed Trenton teenager in 2016. Nucera's attorney, Rocco Cipollone Jr., filed the motion Thursday that named Vore. It was a request to allow more time for pretrial motions and to fully review the hours of recordings, some of which are difficult to hear. He also references a part of the FBI document which says Rohr deleted some of the recordings that he determined contained nothing of importance. Cipollone argues that the deletion of some of the recordings could impact Nucera's right to a fair trial.
Right. Yeah, don't delete shit.
No. Okay. The officer who recorded them said some of these he just deleted them because they was like he didn't save the recordings, and so the defense attorney who's defending the racist cop is like, oh well, those deleted recordings are gonna mess up his right to a fair trial. What was on the deleted ones?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so fuck that. I don't care about that. We got the ones of him calling people niggers. And there you go,
them the one that matter.
Yeah, what would it matter? The other ones, he must have been doing a good job or doing his job, and you just move on. That day he was talking about donuts, you know? We're not saving the donut recordings.
No, nobody gets a damn about the donuts and the extra cheese and fries he had.
The chief is free on bail after he was indicted in late 2017. Charges of hate crime, assault, deprivation of civil rights under the color of law, and making false statements. With Thursday's filing, one of many continuances requested in the case, parties now have until July 16 to submit pretrial motions. 0 to 100. 100. All right. Yeah. I give this one a 75. I'm taking 25 off for the officer who actually recorded it. I don't know if it was a black man. I don't know what the deal is. If it's what they're going to accuse him of, because they're going to try to discredit him, obviously. But I appreciate bringing that to light, because as a black person, I believe a lot of police officers are exactly like that, and they just don't get recorded, and other people hear it and they never report it and they don't have a problem with it, and then they turn around and say shit like, I do my job unbiased. And I'm supposed to believe when you rough up a teenage black kid in Trenton that you did a good job, and I'm not supposed to be able to question you. You're supposed to be without reproach, above reproach. And if you do get caught with some shit like this, you get some quote unquote retraining, and they retrain you how to cover this shit up, and then that's it. So I actually appreciate the peace of mind that I get, at least not really peace of mind, but I appreciate the fact that I know this is happening, and that officer was like, yeah, it's happening, here's a recording of it. It's gonna take some quote unquote good cops to snitch on the bad ones. Police ain't going nowhere. Like, that pie in the sky, like, we gonna get rid of the police shit, that's a long, long time ago from now, if ever. But what is current is the claim for these officers that are quote-unquote good need to step the fuck up. Like, clean up your own mess, you know? I don't need to feel scared every time y'all pull me over, and part of the reason I do is because I don't know which of y'all is calling me niggers, and which one of the other ones in the room is laughing about it, and which one of y'all is supposed to be recording and telling the FBI to get that motherfucker up out of here. You know, every officer that sat up there and laughed at that shit need to go too. Anyway, because he wasn't saying that to just one dude, I guarantee that. Alright, T.I. got arrested for trying to get into his home. He lives in a gated community. He was a little drunk. He showed up Wednesday morning at 4 a.m. And got arrested. He got into an argument with his gated community security guard. He tried to get into his neighborhood without a key, and the guard wouldn't let T.I. in. According to a local ABC affiliate, T.I. asked the guard, "Don't you know who I am?" Tip then called a friend for backup during the argument. The exchange came bad enough the police were called, and they arrested T.I., charged him with disorderly conduct, public drunkenness, simple assault. He was later released on bond. However, according to TMZ, the guard let Tip into the neighborhood after the initial argument. He then returned to confront the guard again, which is when the cops were called. Okay, well, that changes things.
Yes, it does.
He didn't physically hurt the guard. The guard was afraid Tip would hit him during the argument. In Georgia, that's perceived as an alleged simple assault. Wow, really? I thought he might hit me, so that's assault? Wow, that's a lot. Blast spoke with Tip after he was released. He alleged that he caught the guard sleeping and contended that the guard then antagonized him. T.I. said that while it was a very heated debate, it wasn't physical, though the guard may have been hurt by my words. Tip also characterized local authority as white cops in a very white area. T.I.'s attorney Steve Sadow released a statement following the incident. Tip was wrongfully accused earlier this morning when he attempted to gain entrance to the gated community where his wife Tiny and his family reside. Also, him and Tiny, they didn't break up. Good for them. The guard was sound asleep when Tip arrived at the guard house. It took Tip some time to wake up the sleeping guard. Tip clearly identified himself and sought entry. The guard refused entry. Tip was in contact with Tiny by phone, and Tiny confirmed the Tip should be let in immediately. The guard continued to refuse entry without justification. So, 0 to 100.
50.
Yeah, I'll probably give about a 50. Actually, probably 25. Why the fuck did you go back? Like, that just made me think you was drunk. So, I mean, sorry that happened to you though, bro.
Oh, me too.
Come on, nigga. Can't be showing up drunk and like, you know who I am and shit, and then be like, I can't believe they called the police. Like, I let you in, man. That's the end of it. Like, write a strongly worded letter, okay? Come out and cuss me out at 4 in the morning.
Oh yeah, the management would have got a letter from me.
Yeah, you cuss me out
at the post.
Mm-hmm. You coming back for round 2 at 4 a.m. That ain't on me no more. That's on you, homeboy. Let's see what else we talk about. All right, you know what? It's been a while since we did this. Let's take out some trash. And I'll try to turn the volume down as soon as it pops up. I ain't forgot. Mm-mm. But take out the trash is our segment where we talk about, you know, all these trash ass motherfuckers abusing their power and attacking people in the industries. R. Kelly dismisses his critics in a new phone video. They should have did this shit 30 years ago, he said. Spider-Man swung in and was like, that's what I'm saying. Oh my God.
So in other words, you're going, there's a whole hell of a lot of victims. ain't that what you're telling me?
How the hell you offended?
Y'all just don't know how many victims I got. Gotcha, bitches.
How the hell you offended that it took too long to catch yourself? He didn't say he was innocent. He was just like, they should have been caught me for this shit. I mean, yeah, what are we really doing this? Wow. I'm shocked. I'm as surprised as the rest of y'all, man. Ooh, I can't believe this.
Yeah, black women been telling y'all for years, stories going around about not to go to certain schools and shit like that, and all types of story about this nigga floating around, and black women particularly have been mad and outraged, and everybody been looking at them like they crazy,
right?
Because we the victims and nobody gives a fuck about black women being the victims.
And then this motherfucker, this abuser, serial abuser, married Aaliyah when she was 15 and shit, coming around talking about some, I can't believe it took so long that for y'all to do this to me. As soon as he did that shit. Spider-Man just came on in, just swung on in, and started pointing right back at R. Kelly. Oh my God. What is wrong with people, guys?
I don't know.
I mean, when I put the video out, I thought for sure I was going to jail. I can't believe this.
You know I'm a terrible criminal.
What is it, like the mask? Somebody stop me.
Come on!
He said they should have did this shit 30. He said, there's also another thing, because I've seen some men who have used this as some type of tacit defense of R. Kelly. It's some weird type of disassociation. I don't understand what they mean by it, but they go, why they doing this now? Why is it taking so long? They've been trying to do it
for decades.
That, like, the fact that society would not move fast enough in on a rich, elusive pedophile who went to court, paid off people and shit, and they couldn't catch him, doesn't mean nobody wanted his ass off the streets.
Come on, nah.
Like, I don't understand. So if they didn't get him first, they could never get him? What kind of stupid ass logic is that? It's like, if they catch George Zimmerman for some shit next week, I'm gonna be like, good. I'm not gonna be like, well, why now? I'm gonna be like, fuck him. Let's go. Bye. Anyway, man, the video shows R. Kelly speaking to a group of men that seem to include former NBA forward Antoine Walker, a native of the R&B singer's Chicago hometown. After Kelly's toast, the man gives his own speech in support of Kelly. The video was first posted last Thursday, May 18th, by another Chicago man named Remus Jackson IV, who could be seen narrating the video at times. It gained wider notice after a clip was uploaded to Twitter and Facebook by an attorney and a media personality named Xavier Pope, who told Spin he first saw the video because Walker was tagged in it on Facebook. Pope recorded the video from Facebook Live and reposted it because he deemed it extremely newsworthy, he said. Think about that shit. One, he didn't know he was going to be recorded like this. There's a bevy of black men sitting around supporting this motherfucker in that room with him. In that room with him. You know, some people say, I've heard people say, like, oh, they must be participating and having sex with these children too. And I hear y'all. I hear y'all. But I'm going to tell you something. As a man, it's even worse than that. I don't think they are.
I don't think they are either.
That's even worse to me. They're not even they know what he's doing is wrong. And yet they're supporting him. They don't want to cut him off. They'd rather be around him than to be like, no, motherfucker, you are a pariah from society. That's why this dude's able to live in a fucking world, in a bubble, where he can just be like, I can't believe y'all still mad about this. That's why he can live like this.
I got a million motherfuckers hating me, but I got 40 billion motherfuckers loving me. I got a million motherfuckers hating me, a 40 billion motherfuckers loving me.
So I guess he's
loving me. Going by. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something. It's too late. They should have did this shit 30 years ago. It's too late. The music has been injected into the world. Okay? I hired my motherfucking self. I want to propose a toast to all the strong motherfuckers in here right now.
So basically, because he knows, because his music is popping, he knows he is protected from the consequences of the abuse he has subjected these young black girls to. He knows it. He fucking knows it. That sickens me, because you know how many people have argued women down, have argued people down, how many women have gone to his concerts and said, because he good or whatever the fuck, and how many black men have been like, well, I can't believe y'all going after him and Bill Cosby, but y'all don't do nothing about, I haven't thought of the white man yet, but some white man. It's so ridiculous. And this is the kind of shit he going around saying because of that protection. Because people keep talking about how talented he is and what a genius he is. You know, this is the other part of that. Like I said, we talk about that genius shit that doesn't get said. Why do we keep calling men genius? Because men have disgusting behavior, and it's the number one defense of a disgusting motherfucker is you going around and calling him a genius because he did some disgusting shit. You don't even really think or know if he's a genius. Or it's not that he is a genius, just he did something bad and you need a reason to say why you can't miss out on what the fuck he creates. He's a genius. Yeah, Kanye is a genius. Everybody's a fucking genius when they doing some shit that you can't defend, basically. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of geniuses. It doesn't make them not a genius, but there's a reason the shit keeps coming up. Why do we only call men that? Because men keep fucking up. You never have to defend Beyonce saying or doing some stupid shit with, but she's a genius, because she don't do no stupid shit. You don't find out like, oh, you know, Beyonce raped 3 little children. oh man, but she's a musical genius. That's the only way genius really comes up in our society. You know, he used to beat his wife. That nigga's a genius though. Okay. So before we get to that, anyway, man, that motherfucker, disgusting. Disgusting. Matt Lauer's heading to $100 million divorce. Another motherfucker who's creepy ass, sexual harassment behavior and got accused of rape. Cost him half of everything.
Yeah, his wife like, I'm out.
Yeah. She left right away.
Immediately.
Like, her shit was like, there was like the news drop. She was like, all right, bye then. I'm going to the other mansion. I don't
have anything to do with this.
Yep. So, could cost him $100 million. Who knew he had this much money? I didn't.
Years and years and years, and he's white.
Apparently, his wife was searching for a divorce later. Lawyer since 2014. She had already filed for divorce one time in 2006. So she was already two through.
Right. And this was like, oh, okay. Now I can actually leave.
And the word on the street was that the studio, of NBC or whatever wanted him to get married because they wanted to, have a host that was married if he's going to be on these morning shows. Mm-hmm. That's the T right there, girl. Yeah,
so he ended up marrying somebody he probably didn't love.
Mm-hmm. And treated her like shit, and now he done lost half of that money he got from ABC or NBC or one of them motherfuckers. Uber shifts policy for alleged sexual misconduct on ride-hailing service. Riders and drivers will now be allowed to file allegations of rape, sexual assault, and harassment in courts and mediation rather than being locked into an arbitration hearing. Good. Yeah, that's how they get you with no arbitration hearings.
Yeah, bitch, mean y'all ain't gonna do shit.
Yeah, right. Uber ride-hailing service will give its U.S. passengers and drivers more leeway to pursue claims of sexual misconduct in its latest attempt to shed its reputation for brushing aside bad behavior. We'll see how it plays out in real life, but I like this idea. It should have never been it's a legal matter. If you rape me, I should be able to go to the police and get this taken care of. No fucking arbitrator better show up to my house like, hey man, so listen, what we gonna do is,
we ain't about to do jack shit.
Right. MTV suspends Catfish in light of sexual misconduct claims.
What?
Yeah, I'm surprised this one took so long, because we've talked about it on the show before years and years ago, but Neve Schulman, the host,
mm-hmm.
He's been accused of Neve, not Max. Max has a gray hair.
Okay, it's the other one. Okay.
He's been accused of sexual misconduct. We take these allegations very seriously. An MTV spokesperson said in a statement, we're working with Critical Content, our third party production company, to conduct a thorough investigation, and we put a pause on shooting until the investigation is completed. The show is now in its seventh season. How?
Right. I've been stopped watching.
Who don't know? Not even about stop watching. I'm saying, how do they find new stupid people that never seen the show before?
Right.
Like, at this point, how, if you getting catfishes on you, like, watch the show. You getting catfish. Y'all, there, save you some time. As soon as me show up, you should be like, oh, damn, I'm getting catfish. I got it. Never mind. We're working with Critical Content, da da da. The show, now the seventh season, began airing in 2012. Enid Shulman investigates online relationships, attempting to verify where the people are who they say they are on the internet. In a YouTube video, Aisha Morgan, who appeared on the show 2015, alleges she was sexually harassed by Shulman throughout the production. A lesbian, Morgan claims Shulman, whom she refers to in the video by his pseudonym Jack, pushed her to reevaluate her sexuality and have sex with him. Wow. He be trying to have sex with the people? I hope that's not true. In another video, posted May 14th, Morgan alleges the female production assistant, Carol, got her drunk and took advantage of her. The next day, she claims Shulman invited her to his hotel room where he allegedly propositioned her. In a statement sent by his publicist, Shulman denies the charges. Yeah, I don't even know how they would prove this, but, I guess the appearance of an investigation would help them to clear his name, quote unquote, because I don't know how you prove something like a proposition happened unless there's video of it or something. The behavior described in the video did not happen, and I'm fortunate that there are a number of former colleagues who were present during the time period who were willing to speak up with the truth. I've always been transparent about my life and will always take responsibility for my actions, but these claims are false. Shulman, 33, is married to Laura Palongo, whom he has a 17-month-old child. The couple calls the web series We Need to Talk for ATTN. Yeah. Also, the other part of this that's going to be difficult to prove, since it's a proposition, there's no like criminal case, like she didn't call the police, there's no DNA type stuff they're gonna find. But I'm actually kind of surprised with the way that they do that show on the internet and how it's kind of so exploitative, that people haven't had problems with them just in general, because it's a very exploitative show, you know. Anyway, we'll see if there's any truth to that. I just know he was accused of like assault and stuff and hitting a woman before when he was in college, so we've talked about that on the show before. Selma Hayek says Weinstein denied her claims because she is a woman of color. Yes, that Selma Hayek, guys.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Yes. Yes, guys.
You get 100.
Selma Hayek, who told Jessica Williams.
Come on.
About.
Come on. Try to act like color didn't matter. Bitch, get out of here.
Yep. That.
All of a sudden, you a woman of color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is what people told you were in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But your proximity to whiteness, a lot of white men would actually look at you as a white woman, so that plays into why you get certain roles and shit like that. But you act like your just hard work and dedication just made all the difference in the world.
Yep, Karen, that is that's basically what happened there. Mm-hmm. The same woman, keep that same energy, sis.
Right, and it's not that you didn't work hard and all that shit, but the other factors play a role too.
Yeah, keep that same energy. She basically said this dude didn't respond to her because of the fact that she was a woman of color, and he didn't respond. I mean, he responded to her because she's a woman of color. Same thing with Lupita. She was at the, I think, Cannes Film Festival Women in Motion Picture panel, and she said that women of color are the easiest to get discredited, because while dozens of women have accused Weinstein of harassment and abuse in the past few months, Weinstein only issued direct statements denying her and fellow actress Lupita Nyong'o's claims. It's a well-known fact when he went back attacking the two women of color in hopes that he could discredit us. So I guess she gets it now, Karen.
Only pulling out that card because it benefits you now, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I mean, she gets it. Mm-hmm.
We'll see how long she gets it.
Yeah. Now, at the dinner, she had said, "My feeling is that we are about to go to war," but she had a warning. Hayek at Sundance with Miguel Arteta's DHS at dinner agreed that more women need to be hired so that female voices can continue to be recognized in the new administration, by the new administration. "But be careful that we don't fall into victimization. I don't want to be hired because I'm a girl. I want them to see I'm fabulous. Don't give me a job because I'm a girl. It's condescending," she has said. Mm-hmm. And then Jessica Williams had brought up, "I have a question for you." She's 27. She said to McClain, not Hayek, "My question is, what if you're a person of color or a transgendered person who, just from how you look, you already are in the conflict?" McClain said, "Right, but change your point of view. Change your point of view of being victimized. I'm saying find a democracy inside." Hayek said, "I'm sorry, jumping in. Can I ask you a question?" To Jessica Williams. "Yes, ma'am," Williams answered. "Who are you when you are not black and you're not a woman? Who are you and what have you got to give?" Williams took a deep breath. "A lot, but some days I'm just black and I'm just a woman," she said. "Like, it's not my choice. I know who I am. I know I'm Jessica and I'm the hottest bitch on the planet. I know. And Hayek said, no, take the time to investigate. That's the trap. There's so much more. Right, said McClain, the more is inside. Williams, whose speech at the Women's March of Sundance was praised as one of the most powerful, effective last week, looked down and said she was struggling to articulate herself. Pierce tried to help her, saying that when she goes out in public looking masculine, she causes discomfort in a way Williams might as a black woman. But that wasn't quite right, so after a few moments of reflection, Williams returned to Hayek. I think what you're saying is valid, but I also think what you're saying doesn't apply to all women. I think that's impossible. Hayek said, what part of it's impossible? You're giving attention to how the other one feels. And Williams says, because I have to. And Hayek says, if you have to do that, then do that. Then that's your journey. But I want to inspire other people. I want to inspire other people to know it's a choice. So yeah. So then D. Rees hopped in and said, I don't see myself as a victim. Jessica doesn't see herself as a victim, but it's how you're read. I also feel like the word victim, I feel like it has bothered me, Williams said. When I talk about feminism, sometimes I feel like being a black woman is cast aside. I always feel like I'm warring with my womanhood and wanting the world to be better with my blackness, which is the opposite of whiteness. Cora, who had been in the kitchen cooking lamb stew and halibut, wandered over to share that she grew up gay in Mississippi, where she was sexually abused from the age of 6. No matter an individual's experience, she said she just wished all the women would have one another's backs. Well, which one in the room didn't? McClain and Hayek ain't have everybody back. I know that's for sure. They was just, everybody else was just being victims. She also returned to Jessica Williams and asked her to continue speaking. Look at this. Look at how all the women of color, the trans women, trans people, the lesbians came through for Jessica to be like, no, speak up, sis. Cause Jessica was frustrated and was about to be quiet at that table. They really had shut her down. She was like, I'm struggling to articulate myself. She's taking deep breaths. You don't want to piss these people off. They're titans of the industry. Right. They're other women. You do want to work with them. You are at work. With intersectional feminism, it's our responsibility as white women to recognize that there are people of color or people who are queer. We need to prioritize your voices and let you speak the loudest and learn from your experiences because we haven't been listening. So please, Jessica, finish your thoughts. Williams, visibly uncomfortable, said she also wanted to encourage all the women in the room to pay special attention to women of color and LGBT women. I think we need to not speak over black women, not assign them labels. What does this mean? Speak over, Hayek asked, speaking over her. To project your ideas on me, Williams said. I think there's a fear that if we present an idea, hey, maybe black women have it a little bit harder in this country because we do, black women and trans women do. If we're having it a little bit harder, it doesn't invalidate your experience. I really am begging you not to take it personally. Williams continued referencing Planned Parenthood to support her argument. While many women may rely on the clinic, she said 4 out of 5 women who use the services are women of color. So when you say women of color, then she noticed that Hayek began. Then she noticed Williams was not making eye contact with her. She said, Jessica, do you mind if I look in your eyes? Williams barely looked up. Still, the back and forth continued, with Hayek questioning whether or not she was considering it a woman of color in Williams' estimation. Nearly everyone in the room responded that Hayek was. Wouldn't it solve it if women just all had each other's back in general, Cora asked suddenly. Sure, Pierce said. The thing is, yes, all women can work together, but we have to acknowledge that black women have a different experience. She's here struggling. We keep shutting her down. I don't think anybody here shut her down, said Cora. Can I interrupt? Because I feel misunderstood, Hayek agreed. It's not shutting you up. I feel misunderstood on one point. We should be also curious about our brain by being the best that you can be. That's what I was trying to say to you. Let's not just spend time all the time in anger, but in investigation. Baby, I'm Mexican and Arab, she went on, addressing Williams. I'm from another generation, baby. That when this was not even a possibility, my generation, they said, go back to Mexico. You'll never be anything other than a maid in this country. By the heads of studios, there was no movement. Latino women were not even anywhere near where you guys are. I was the first one. I'm 50 years old, so I understand. You don't understand, Williams said, shaking her head quietly. They attempted to wrap up the conversation. That was pretty much the end. Dog. But now she understands that Harvey Weinstein tried to shut her down because she's a woman of color. And that's not dwelling in victimhood. That's a fucking fact. I mean, that was kind of the whole point of that.
So are you accepting to the rule?
Right. When it's you, it's different though, right? Like when it's you, it's different. But when it's somebody else, I don't know about all this black shit now. Hold on. Why are you dwelling in victimhood? Right. Cause you could be part of the people that's pushing down on that. All right. Let's do some guest erase. Find my guest erase music. My goodness. That was so trash. I forgot how bad that conversation was.
That conversation was terrible.
Yeah. And I would love to say, maybe she's just learned. And she's improved and she just didn't put it out to the public, but she's kind of realized she was wrong about that. But I don't know. I think she really just feels that way because it's her now.
Correct.
Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right. It's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right. It's guest the race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And everybody sings along, and everybody's racist. All right. Report. Upset over noisy kids, a man opened fire on his neighbors with an AK-47. Must have been some very noisy kids. Portland, Oregon, a 59-year-old man is in custody after he allegedly fired over a dozen rounds from an AK-47 at neighbors after complaining about noise their children were making. CBS affiliate KOIN reports that the noise dispute between Franklin Lane Tomes and the upstairs neighbors had been ongoing. According to an affidavit, the dispute sparked a verbal argument between Tomes and the victims in the apartment complex parking lot on Tuesday night. During the argument, he grabbed a 7.62 rifle from his car and loaded it. Well, I mean, that's going to make
from
more noise.
From his car?
Yeah, from his car, Karen. That was the detail that shocked you? Was so to get it from a tree? He then allegedly pointed it at them, but didn't shoot. He returned to his vehicle, but only briefly before grabbing his rifle again, allegedly firing at least a dozen rapid-fire rounds at two victims while they ran away. Tomes faces two counts of first degree assault, two counts of pointing a firearm at another, unlawful use of a weapon, four counts of reckless endangerment, and two counts of attempted murder. Two 20-year-old men were taken to the hospital with gunshot wounds, according to a probable cause affidavit. One victim was shot in the shoulder, the other was shot in each leg and a foot.
Shit.
After the shooting, he holed up in his apartment but surrendered early Wednesday after speaking to SWAT team negotiators against the race.
A white.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the, I feel like the gun made more noise than how loud they were talking. The chat room. This is a straight white male. Toxic saltine. Fury straight white male. White. Downtrodden khaki wear. Colonizer who wants quiet. AKKK 47 white. He aloof white. NRA white. It's so hard being a straight white man. White, I did have to use my AK, so today was not a good day. White, the correct answer is white. The amount of entitlement it must take to think I can kill you over this shit.
And he hit two people.
Yeah. I mean, he had an AK-47. They lucky to be alive, to be honest. He definitely was trying to kill them. That ain't no wounding gun. That's a killing gun. Let's go to the bonus round. I mean, let's go to the next one. Karen loves when I make mistakes.
Who, me?
Yeah, I saw you over there. You was like, you meant the next round.
oh, I be fucking up all the time. So who am I?
No, I don't. I'm okay with it. It's just funny. You laugh every time. if I play the wrong song, you know, all that stuff. It's the little things.
Because it's hilarious. I know the audience hears it too.
Portsmouth man added copyright and his screen name to his child porn.
What?
I guess he didn't want it to be no mistakes about whose child porn this was.
Did he sign it too?
Right.
With love.
from your friend.
Sincerely.
The pedophile.
Best wishes.
A Portsmouth man molested a 2-year-old boy on camera in 2016.
Oh!
And then posted the photos on the internet, according to court documents. The images are also watermarked with one of his screen names and the word copyright.
Oh, he wanted to be sure that nobody, didn't no other pedophiles take credit for his shit.
That's also not how copyrights work, but okay. Go off. Deshaun Webster was arrested Friday after confessing to a federal investigator. He made his initial appearance later that afternoon to U.S. District Court. U.S. Attorney Elizabeth Beth Ucey, I guess that's the prosecutor, declined to comment, as did his defense attorney. I mean, what's left to say? Keith Kimball, his defense attorney, had to just be shaking his head like, I can't even. This is going to be a short case. The charges against Webster, 22, stem from two separate incidents. Two different investigations in the unspecified websites that distributed child porn, one led by Interpol and one led by Homeland Security, based in Boston. HSI agents recovered a thumb drive from a suspect in another case that included 17 images of prepubescent boy that appeared to be homemade, according to court documents. All were in a folder labeled with a specific screen name, and all of the images were watermarked with the same screen name. Further investigation led agents to 5 videos of a man engaging in sex acts with a young boy. Agents determined the same person was using multiple screen names on a variety of websites that deal in child pornography. With the help of Cox Communications, investigators leaked posts from one of those screen names to Webster's old address in Portsmouth. Agents also linked another email address associated with one of the screen names to that address. Investigators determined Webster had moved next door. A Portsmouth police sergeant conducted a ruse interview Monday regarding a missing person. The sergeant spoke with Webster and saw he was babysitting 2 boys at the time.
Oh!
Homeland Security investigations agent served a search warrant Friday morning at the house, and in the interview, Webster confessed to making child pornography with the watermarks in November 2016. A review of his electronic media uncovered numerous images of child pornography as well. Guess the race of Deshaun Webster.
Deshaun Webster. Black.
Karen's going with black. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Please let the parents beat the living shit out of him, white. Deshaun, don't do that, nigga. That's 5 to 10. Time to go viral with trademark. The photos was an epic fail, but plus his name is Deshaun Black. Black. Negroes love to take credit for their crimes on social media. Black. Uncle Chester Black. Deshaun R. Kelly Black. Sadly, it's a toss-up. Black. There ain't no toss-up. Y'all already know in y'all heart of hearts that is a black-ass name.
Wow.
Right.
Look at that hair.
Mm-hmm.
You coming with a brick?
I would not let him sit in my car, let alone a baby. A whole baby. Oh my God. He's like Sam Jackson in Unbreakable with a gland disorder.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We better.
Yep. That's what we doing.
Yeah,
under the jail. Under the motherfucking jail. Bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race for the bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2 on a banner night. Let's see if she can go 3 for 3. Mm-hmm. Getting nervous over there?
A little bit.
All right. A man allegedly used change of address form to move UPS headquarters to his apartment. As federal crimes go, this one has been ridiculous.
How can you do that? The UPS store gonna be at your house? That makes no sense.
He did it already, so. I mean, that's why it's a crime.
Oh, so nobody checked the form? Nobody was like...
I guess not. He submitted a U.S. Postal Service change of address form on October 26, 2017. According to court documents, he requested change of a corporation's mailing address from an address in Atlanta to the address of his apartment on Chicago's north side. The post office duly updated the address, and Henderson Spruce allegedly began receiving the company's mail, including checks. It went on for months. Prosecutors say he deposited some $58,000 in checks and improperly forwarded to his address.
What? Oh, so it took somebody to talk about. We ain't getting no mail. What's happening?
The corporation isn't named in the court documents, but the Chicago Tribune reports that it is a shipping company, UPS. In a statement to NPR, UPS said it was notified that some U.S. mail intended for UPS employees at the company's headquarters address was redirected by an unauthorized change of address by a third party. U.S. Postal Service, USPS, corrected the issue, and the USPS postal inspector is investigating the incident. Henderson Spruce allegedly messed up the form a little. Henderson Spruce did not identify himself on the one-page form. At first, the initials HS were written on the signature line, but the initials were then scratched out and replaced with UPS, according to the documents, according to the charges. So he almost got caught right away, but then he was like, UPS. I almost caught myself. But that
was, almost caught me slipping.
Almost caught me. But that was apparently good enough for the U.S. Postal Service. Henderson Spruce began.
They don't pay them people enough. That was somebody was like, fuck it. Poof, approved.
He began receiving several thousand pieces of first class U.S. mail and registered mail.
Several thousands?
Thousand.
And nobody at the UPS store was like, God damn, why all of a sudden we ain't getting no mail?
They were addressed to the corporation according to criminal complaint for nearly three months.
90 days.
Mail addressed to UPS's corporate headquarters was forwarded to Henderson Spruce apartment. He received so much mail that the mail carrier had to leave it in a USPS tub outside his door.
Wow.
The mail carrier told investigators that voluminous amounts of company mail were delivered to Henderson Spruce, sometimes handed to him directly. The mail contained personal identifying information of employees as well as business checks and invoices. According to the affidavit, he also sent American Express corporate cards, credit cards. Henderson Spruce allegedly deposited into his bank account some 10 checks addressed to the company, totaling approximately $58,000.
I've dealt with mail before, and sometimes I still do. Mm-hmm. Whenever you deal with mail, you get Social Security, you get wage garnishments, you get stuff about children, what do you call that stuff, where they deduct for your children, you get stuff about insurance. Like, you get all types of personal information dealing and touching mail.
Yep.
Medications, all kinds of shit he got.
Mm-hmm. On January 25th, postal inspector searched his apartment in Chicago and found 3,000 pieces of mail addressed to the company in Atlanta. Court documents say he reportedly told investigators that he had worked part-time at the company facility in 2012 or so. But that was point why you still got 3,000 pieces of current mail.
3,000, dog.
That's probably how he knew how to cash the checks, though.
And you know what? Because I've dealt with UPS before, probably because that location is so big, and I guarantee you they probably get shit from everywhere. That's probably why it took 90 days. Nobody realized that they get tons and tons and tons of mail.
They just thought they weren't getting mail.
Right. They didn't even think twice about all of a sudden we lie. And the thing is, for the person delivering the mail person, like for them, they were like, fuck, all of a sudden, you just get electric bill to now I gotta leave a tub outside your house. Something wrong.
Oh, so.
I mean, you know, cause they do their routes. I would question that.
This story really brought the CSI out in you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This, I didn't know this, we was gonna get all this.
I would question that because I've dealt with, you know, the mail mm-hmm. people going around picking up mail and shit like that. And
it's very triggering for you.
Right, because, you know, if all of a sudden I'm on your mail route and all of a sudden you get 45,000 pieces of mail, I'm gonna be like, what's happening here? You making my job harder.
Yeah. I didn't realize I was pushing the envelope. So yeah, on January 25th, they filed 3,000 pieces of mail addressed to the company. So the Tribune spoke briefly with him outside his apartment, and he just said it was a mix-up, and it must have been a result of a mix-up from somebody else that was not his fault, and that his identity may have been stolen. But he declined to elaborate. In November 2016, police in nearby Evanstown, Illinois, charged Henderson Spruce with the one count of misdemeanor bank fraud for possession of a stolen check. Henderson Spruce now faces federal charges of mail theft, which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years, and mail fraud, which can be up to 20.
Woo! Don't be fucking with other people's mail.
Yep. No one at the post office thought it was weird that a guy was getting 1,000 pieces of company mail forwarded to his apartment, apparently. There have been many reports of regular people having their mail address changed without their knowledge, so that's wild.
And like I said, and maybe because I've dealt with the mail and shit like that, I'm on your route, and all of a sudden your shit hikes like that. And a lot of times, if you're like an individual person and you get that much mail, you normally contact and call them and be like, hey, this is a special thing being, you know me, being sent. My volume is going to increase. You know, all of a sudden, my mail truck, all of a sudden, is 3/4 of just your house. Something wrong.
Guess the race of Mr. Deshaun Henderson Spruce, Karen.
Black.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. White. Post office or bank didn't even question him. White. Black. That what brown can do for you, get you paid. Black. Wait, another Deshaun?
Right? I know. I thought he was bullshitting. I was like, what? We got another one?
Black. My mailman complains about the Amazon package delivery, but nobody said nothing about this. But Deshaun, black. Deshaun had the good hustle. Black, white collar crime. Wait, black. Steve Harvey scamming, black. Yep, that's right, guys. That's like Drake said. We're going black to black because he was black. Yep.
And you know what? The person that on his mail route was white. Because I'm trying to tell you, if a nigga was delivering his mail, they'd have called somebody. This nigga ain't supposed to be getting this much goddamn mail. Somebody come investigate him. 90 days.
Maybe they respected the hustle, Karen. I don't know. No snitching. A man who decapitated his mother with sword has ordered for conditional release from Mendota.
What?
We don't take shit seriously, man. This man cut his mom's head off how long ago, Karen?
5-6 years ago?
2015.
Oh!
He had a plan for conditional release from his commitment to the Mendota Mental Health Institute ordered Friday because he is dying from cancer, his father said. A plan that identifies treatment and services from Matthew J. Skolitsky, anyway, 42, upon his release, was ordered by Dane County Circuit Judge Joseph Reynolds. After a psychologist who examined Skolitsky, as well as attorneys for both sides, recommended his conditional release, according to online court records.
He cut his mama's head smooth off.
Yep. Reynolds will decide at a hearing in July whether to accept the plan that she ordered the State Department of Health Services in Dane County to prepare. Skolitsky was committed to a state mental institution indefinitely by Reynolds in September 2016 after he pleaded guilty to first degree intentional homicide, and then, following a plea agreement based on mental health examinations, was found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. He killed a 68-year-old mother, Jane Skolitsky, at his apartment in Sun Prairie, September 11, 2015, because he believed she was an inhuman clone and decapitated her after she found a box containing swords and other weapons. A criminal complaint said his mother worked as a special education teacher at Sun Prairie School District for nearly 30 years and retired in 2007. Police learned that Skolitsky had been prescribed drugs to treat his mental illness, but he had stopped taking them prior to the incident, according to the criminal complaint. At his sentencing hearing, Reynolds also ordered that psychotropic drugs prescribed for Skolitsky be given to him involuntarily if he balked at taking them. So he's responded well to treatment for schizophrenia at Mendota, said his father.
He needs to stay in there.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do. He hated chemo, so he's not going through it again. He's just on pain meds now, so I guess they're just gonna let him die from cancer according to this, if it's not a trick, they'll just get them out and then be like, actually, change our mind, but now my son is out, so let's just let it go. Anyway, man, killed his own mama with a damn sword, y'all. Right. We got to regulate these swords. Okay, it might be too late for guns, but maybe we can start with swords. I don't know.
Start small.
All right, man. All right, like I said, we hope to see you at the live show.
We do.
The blackouttips.com. Just go to the top, look in the right, on the right side at the top header, and it'll say, the Blackout Tips Live 2018. And, click it and get your tickets.
Just thank you for everybody that's bought their tickets.
And yeah, we see your tweets. Thank y'all for sharing the word, sharing it on,
so emotional,
on Facebook, sharing it on Twitter. It's so good to see people that actually want you to win, to see people that really been waiting for this, has been in our corner, that's been rooting for us.
Shout out for all the love and support from other people, other podcasters. It's been wonderful.
So thank you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.